The brain doesn't know, right? The brain just does what it thinks you want it to do. Your brain is not going to tell you, this is bad or this is good. No, you just, whatever you, the input that you give to the brain, that's how it then, that's how it would.
You're now listening to the Happiness Project podcast, that has touched more than 80,000 lives and is evolved in more than 100 plus countries and is available on 10 plus platforms. Please do subscribe to the Happiness Project podcast by Rena Jain so you never miss out on a single episode on the show. Episodes release every Fridays. You can also rate and review the podcast on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, or any other platform that you're listening this podcast on, because your support will go a long, long way. Hi, my name is Rena Jain. I'm a psychologist, wellness coach, and a podcaster. You're now listening to the Happiness Project podcast, a podcast that will help you look at things differently and push you to have a better experience of life. My wish for you is that you find peace in this moment, that you do things that really lights up your soul and sets it up on fire, that you keep pushing yourself to be a better person with a grateful and compassionate heart, that you put yourself out there because life is too short to be living for anybody else but you. I really wish you bloom with grace, because trust me, you are one intention away from an entirely different life. Welcome back to the 92nd episode on the Happiness Project podcast. I am in an absolutely amazing state of mind this week and I'm pretty excited for life. Well, there have been so many developments in my life and all of them make me want to look forward to the future. Well, I really hope you guys are as hopeful as I am for the next few months of 2021. Well, like I mentioned last week, I want to make sure that the last 9 to 10 episodes up until we complete 100 episodes are key takeaways from my podcast. Exactly why I am going to be sharing some key highlights of my conversations with some incredible guest speakers that I have spoken to in the past and add so much of value to my work that I'm doing. So today's episode is the ever popular topic around social media and how it has impacted our lives, mostly in negative ways. Of course, there's been a positive impact as well, but the effect of social media has mostly been on the negative spectrum. So I recently read one of these quotes. It said, "The only time you should look in your neighbor's bowl is to make sure that they have enough. You do not look in your neighbor's bowl to see if you have as much as them." Or the classic, "Comparison is the thief of joy." While I constantly find myself stuck between my phone and my computer, mindlessly scrolling and waiting for little red notifications and the accompanying ping. I say mindlessly because we pick up our phones, unlock it, navigate on autopilot to social media apps and start the process of scrolling. At some point, our brain clicks and we realize, what the F are we doing? And we also realize that we're feeling like shit for no reason. Maybe we're all sailing in the same boat, huh? Firstly, it's not your fault. And secondly, there's something you can do about it, right? Look, the mindless navigation to apps and pointless scrolling, there's got to be a reason why we do it, no? There is. And to explain, I will tell you a story about a Russian psychologist, Ivan Pavlov. In 1927, he was able to show that dogs would salivate at the sound of a bell if they had previously been given food when a bell rang. This came to be known as classical conditioning. Now, what exactly is that? It is what happens when a biologically potent stimulus, for example, food, is paired with a previously neutral stimulus, for example, a bell, resulting in a physiological response, the dog salivating. When it comes to social media, the potent stimulus is a basic human need we have to feel connected and validated. The neutral stimulus is the push notifications of all types, both visual and audible, that we get bombarded with and succumb to all the time. It's nearly impossible to see a little red notification and not click it, right? These seemingly harmless notifications are actually part of a system that is designed to make us pick our phones and access apps without really thinking about it. The act of doing this creates what's called a habit loop. Now, what exactly is a habit loop? There are four parts to a habit loop: cue, craving, response, and reward. Now, I'll give you an example of a habit loop. So, cue would be your phone buzzing with a new notification. Craving would be you wanting to know what it is. Response would be you grabbing your phone and opening up the app. And reward would be you satisfy your craving and the loop is locked. Look, the reward is a hit of dopamine, a neurohormone which plays a part in controlling the movements and habits a person engages in, as well as their emotional responses. Dopamine triggers you to seek a reward, and once you're rewarded, triggers you again to seek the next reward. It's particularly powerful when it's paired with a cue, like a notification, which creates anticipation and enhances the addictive effect. The effect is further increased when the cue is unpredictable, like it is with notifications. It is the same sort of process that makes people addicted to poker machines. After a while, it becomes harder and harder to stop checking your phone to see if you have a new message or response. The never-ending stimulation of the dopamine system can be exhausting, and the constant switching of attention can make it nearly impossible to get anything done. So you find yourself sitting there, staring at your phone, stuck in the habit loop. What I want to make clear here is that dopamine isn't a bad thing. It's a natural, necessary part of our body. However, when companies take advantage of your psychology and physiology to get more screen time and ultimately increase profits at a cost to your mental health, we need to take a note of it. What's this about social media and mental health? Well, the negativity of social media is bad for mental health. And again, negativity is inherent to social media, right? Look, we are social beings and need company, affirmation, and friendship. Traditionally, we sought that in face-to-face interactions. The most remote form of it was the pen friend. I don't know how many of you remember that, but I do. Someone we had never met, but who we wrote letters to. We protected our identity and personal information and guarded it with jealousy, and would be ballistic if even our parents, closest relatives, or friends opened any letters of ours or read our diary without our permission. Then came social media in 2004 and opened the doors for us to seek affiliation and affirmation without any boundaries or rules, and without the tools to even assess its reality or effect. The first social media site to reach a million monthly active users was MySpace, and was the beginning of social media as we know it. Yes, it is as recent as that. Facebook, which owns Instagram, Twitter, and WhatsApp, has over a billion active users who volunteer their information for it to harvest and use for anything at all, is even more recent. Only in February 2012 did Facebook become a public company. Its first IPO in May raised to $16 billion, giving it a market value of $102.4 billion. Today, it is worth over $300 billion. Ask how your wealth increased from 2012 to 2021. With social media, suddenly from a few real friends who we knew, we ended up with tens and hundreds of virtual friends and followers. Platforms like Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and everything else in between encouraged us to share the most mundane information about ourselves, and suddenly made it the means to become popular. Well, we all know about the Instagram influencer culture. They gave us role models like the Kardashians and others who post what they post to induce us to do the same. Like faithful sheep, we followed. I am saying words like friends, followers, popular in quotes to underline the fact that none of this is real. However, human nature is such that it does not analyze or deny pleasant experiences. And so, if we have 2,000 virtual friends on Facebook or 3,000 followers on Twitter, we do not question the reality or check it against real evidence. We are happy to stay with the fantasy and give in to the drive to increase our following. This also means that we will do whatever we need to ensure that we don't lose any friends or followers. Remember that all this happens very unobtrusively and quietly, and our behavior changes without us being aware of it. Rapidly, we get our own sense of identity hooked to this and start to look forward to seeing what our friends and followers think of us. We want them to like us, and so we do what they like. We think we are independent. We are not. We are enslaved. Well, I am so glad that I got a chance to talk to Johan, who is a social media expert and gives us some amazing insights into the usage and effectiveness of social media. I really hope you enjoy the highlights of my conversation with Johan. Just in case if you want to listen to the entire episode, I will mention the link in the show notes. Now, go ahead and enjoy the highlights of our conversation.
So we live in this world on social media, and we think that's the real world, a world that everyone is seeing, but it's not. It's just like a very highly, specifically curated world just for you. It's only you see. So you think that's reality, but no, it's just your reality. And then for another person, that's his or her reality. So we think it's the reality, but no. So we think everyone has an opinion about a specific topic, and that's what the opinion is. No, that's what you see, because that's your opinion. We're in this echo chamber. We see what we want to see. And then our beliefs are reinforced based on the information that we see on social media. So we basically live in their algorithm. They give you the nudge, you do the nudge, and then you're living in the algorithm. You think it's free will. You think that you're scrolling for 1 hour just based on free will. It's not. You were programmed. You were programmed to go take step one, and then take step two, step three. And then, of course, they like to bombard you with many other features, social media, to say, well, you're here anyway. Side posting. Why don't you game? Why don't you send a private message? Why don't you follow this person you might know? So there are many, many tricks that they implement, like the like button, that they want to know how many likes do I have. And that's a huge problem, because a lot of we want to feel good, and we feel good about ourselves when a lot of people feel good about us.
We are looking for validation, right?
Oh, yes. We're going there, right? We want to create those fans. So that's the problem. We are always, we are our biggest critic often, right? Often people, the way they talk about themselves is a negative. A lot of people, they talk to them in a way that they will not talk to a friend or to a colleague or anyone, right? It's just the story we tell ourselves is negative. Yeah. So we need those likes to have proof that we are amazing. But that's a problem. We want to create fans instead of us becoming our biggest fan. And aside our biggest critic, we should become both. We want to become our biggest fan and our biggest critic. Not our biggest critic, and we need other people to make us believe that yes, I am good. Because if you believe that, if you listen to the people who say, yeah, you're amazing, then if they say you're not amazing, then you're going to believe that as well. And so it's up to you to answer that question to yourself. Am I amazing? Am I smart? Am I good? You have to work on yourself. You have to, the story you tell yourself about yourself should be a positive one, and it's up to you to change that story. You don't want to go for validation. But a lot of people don't think like this, unfortunately, so they do go to social media and they do want those likes, and they do post based on the expectations of the amount of likes that they're going to receive. So that's a problem. Or what about the infinite scroll, that they keep scrolling, because we love information. We want to know what's going on, especially with this COVID-19. We want to know exactly what's going on every minute.
Absolutely.
Every time on social media, another reason. So Facebook went to the stock market in 2012, and then they had to find the answer to the question, how can we make more money? So that's why you had the like system that was implemented, for example. So then they became very sophisticated with their algorithms much more because they need more money. And then they are competing for your time and your attention and focus. So they will try everything in their power for you to stay online as long as possible.
Oh yeah.
Learn about tech, embrace your smartphone.
Right.
Learn about the features, for example, the do not disturb, the airplane modes, the grayscale. Learn about it, but also settings, privacy settings, security settings of social media. Learn about Instagram. If you keep using Instagram, learn about Instagram. Learn about Facebook. What are all the options? And learn about the risks, the dangers online. How to use internet in a mindful way,
right?
Because technology is going to become much more important.
Virtual reality
is not mainstream yet. AI is going to become smarter. Augmented reality is going to become
definitely
more sophisticated. So we have to learn this now. So that's what I mean with step three: embrace tech and learn about it. Don't just complain about it. Digital habits, screen habits. So then you're going to use specific strategies, boundaries, limits that will help you with your screen time. So then you, for example, create a no phone zone rule. When are phones allowed? When are they not allowed?
Right.
When you're with your spouse, with your parents, with your kids, when are they allowed? When, how, for how long, which apps are allowed? Or for example, a mini digital detox, just one evening. Like digital detox Sunday, for example. A whole day, maybe. Don't use tech. Come with all these strategies, implement, or like a phone, no phone lounge. I like this word, a phone lounge, I mean.
Wow.
So a place in your house where you're going to leave your phone when they are not allowed. So, okay, your spouse is there, you're going to have a romantic dinner now. You know exactly where you're going to put your phone in the house, like in a different room, for example. There's a dedicated space, a phone lounge where you put your phones. And so you don't even need to reflect or like think about where should we put our phones. No, out of sight. So that's what I mean with digital habits, screen habits, boundaries, limits that you want to think about. And then implement. It's not just about pushing your phone away. It's also about finding something that pulls you away from your phone automatically already.
Absolutely.
Something, right? Replacement activities. Find activities that you want to do with someone or just with yourself. This week, I played a board game for the very first time just by myself.
Wow.
Never done it before. I always thought, well, why would you play it by yourself? You play it with a lot of people. It's, you know, maybe video games you play by yourself. But then I thought, well, a lot of people are doing it. Let me try it. So is that curiosity? You want to become curious and also not just by with yourself, but also with a lot of people, right? What can we do? There's so many activities you can take on. You know, if you're with someone, with your spouse, create a nice photo collage of places that you were together and put those photos together. Create a love playlist or something of favorite songs that you both like to listen to. Find activities, become curious, become excited. And it's good for connection as well. So self-development is all about moving forward. Become mindful, practice mindfulness. Because mindfulness is very important to learn because it makes everything much easier.
Absolutely.
Much easier. Because that space that when your phone demands your attention, that space, so when that trigger starts, could be an internal trigger like a thought, or it could be an external trigger like a sound from your phone. In that space, you go for your phone, there is freedom of choice in that space. So when the moment you want to go for your phone, if you practice mindfulness, it's going to become easier for you to catch yourself wanting to go for your phone and then catch yourself and say, okay, you know what, let me replace this now, me going for my phone with another activity. Or just say, you know what, no, I'm not going to do it. I'll just sit here and just see if I can do it, just for 2 minutes. That's mindfulness. You want to become more mindful and be present. And it's also good for yourself, but also with people you're in a relationship with, family members, friends, colleagues. And just that's just part of self-development, right? But they want to be focusing on connection, on building, on making your dreams happen, grow. When if you connect it to relationships, then you can say, how can your wife, your children, your friends really enjoy you if you're not happy? The more you work on yourself, the more you improve yourself, the better your energy will, the better your attitude, your personality, right? And that's going to be reflected, and people will feel it, they will sense it, and that will make them happy. So that's why you have to become selfish in order to become selfless. Sometimes people don't understand that.
Oh yeah.
But you really have to take care of yourself. Yeah. It's vital. So last step is self-development, because if you improve the conversation you have about yourself when you're by yourself, if that improves,
everything else will.
It's going to be much easier to say no to your phone, to say you're not going to now rob my time and my phone.
You know, this is the conversation I think a lot of my listeners would love to hear, because this is a time when we are all inclined towards using our phones the most. You know, the moment we see a notification, our phone buzzing, we just have this unconscious habit of just picking up the phone and just checking who's it. And at the end of the day, I think it's all about being mindful, starting small, and understanding when you are crossing that line.